www.thebridgeofchrist.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to be back with you this week. Had a great week away, but glad to be back with you. Bob did an awesome job last week covering the first part of Matthew chapter 7, so much so that I'm going to repeat everything that he said this morning. So, no, but if you didn't, first of all, if you didn't have a chance to listen to the message, I really encourage you to go back and do that. It was good despite the goofy title that he gave it, right? Dogs, hogs, and sheep. But it was a good message about being judgy towards others. And I bring that up because when you set an outline for a series like this, sometimes there's things that kind of come up along the way that you don't expect. And as I was prepping for this week, I felt we needed to kind of revisit some of the things that Bob actually did share and parts of that passage, because sometimes passages seem a little bit disconnected or maybe that they're not completely intertwined, that it's different thoughts. But as I was prepping for things this week, I thought, you know what? These passages are much more connected than it originally might look like. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to hear Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12, even though we're focusing on the second part, and I'm going to probably recap. No, I'm definitely going to recap a few of the things that Bob talked about and add a few things to that as we flow into the next section. So if you're following along in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7, or your Bible apps, but the words will be up on the screen. So Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, says this, starting in verse 1, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log out of your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." And now verse 7 in the passage we'll focus in on. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." All right, so when it comes to your brothers and sisters in Christ, don't be judgy based on your expectations of how a Christian ought to live. Right? As Bob pointed out, we've got to use discernment, right? We still need to uphold the truth, but discernment is not the same thing as judgment. And a lot of times, when we start to get judgy, it leads us to condemnation of others, right? So don't be judgy, right? Because we're all on level ground because of, we're only made righteous by faith in Jesus, right? So we're all on level ground that way. Don't try to fix the little issues others are dealing with when you haven't dealt with the biggies in your own life. Take the plank out of your eye first. Because it's ridiculous to think that if you don't, that you could help someone with a speck in their eye, right? When it comes to unbelievers, Bob shared and mentioned that, of course, we're supposed to share the truth and tell other people the good news about Jesus. But don't force it on them, especially when they aren't ready. And I will add this to that idea. Don't expect unbelievers to live like believers either, right? When we expect an unbelieving world to live by godly standards, or when we try to think that like spiritual truth is something that unspiritual people are going to be excited about and advocating for. Like, that too is giving what is holy to wild dogs and putting a pearl necklace on a pig. Let me give you an example of this. As Christians, sometimes we get a little judgy. We'll tell two unbelievers that they're sinning by sleeping together or living together, because we're expecting them to live according to a godly standard. Now, there are good reasons why that's not the best idea for their life. We're not really going to get into that. But if we think that it makes them somehow more righteous because they get married or because they go get separate apartments and stop having sex, yet they still don't know Jesus, then we're kind of missing the point, right? Even if they straighten their lives out, they're still lost. They're still an unbeliever. Better behavior is not what we need to be made right with God, right? No one is made right with God because of their actions. We can't accomplish that. What they need is Jesus. They need the righteousness of Jesus credited to their account like we've received. So don't expect unbelievers to live like believers. Don't go after their behavior with a judgy attitude. They're going to resent you for it, and they probably should, right? It's probably justified. Instead, as Bob pointed out, be like sheep who show what the shepherd's heart is really like. Because like any other way is hypocritical. Okay? Don't be judgy. Love like Jesus. Right, these are the things that Jesus talks about in those first few verses of this section. And then we get to verse 7, and he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Now, little nerdy here, right? In the Greek, the verbs ask and seek and knock, they're all in a present tense, very specifically, the present imperative active verb. All right? Which, here's what that means. It indicates a continuous action and like an ongoing command. It's happening now, but it's something that should continue. So Jesus is illustrating that believers need something from him continuously. Right? So he says, ask for it. And keep on asking for it. Seek it and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Right? So what is that thing? What is the it that Jesus is referring to? In other words, here's kind of the question. What are we supposed to be asking, seeking, and knocking for? What are we supposed to be asking, seeking, knocking for in this kind of continuous way? Well, first let's talk about what it's not saying, right? This passage is not saying that God will give us anything we want, right? Like God is some sort of cosmic genie where you just rub the lamp and he will give you your three wishes. Ask for anything and you'll receive it. Seek for anything and you'll find it. Knock on the door for anything and it will open for you. Right? There are times where we hear people teach that that's what this verse is talking about. But let me just ask you, aside from the theological wrongness of that, is that the reality any of us has experienced with God? Anyone ever asked God for something that he never gave you? Right? I have. We all have. And the truth be told, sometimes it's better that way because we tend to ask for selfish stuff, right? Things that God knows are not best for us, right? And we end up being glad that he didn't say, well, okay, you asked for it, right? There's a song way back in the day, really popular song, Garth Brooks. I know, bringing up a country tune, which is of the devil, but just kidding. Sort of. No, just kidding. Song is called Unanswered Prayers, right? Unanswered Prayers. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. That's probably a very true statement, right? Because if God gave us anything that we asked for, we'd probably all end up with some serious regrets that we had asked for certain things. So we can sometimes be thankful God doesn't give us what we ask for. So it doesn't mean that. In another passage in John 14:14, Jesus says, "Well, ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." So maybe is this referring to ask for anything that we ask that's in his name? Because there's a qualifier here. It's not just ask for anything, but anything in his name. If something is asked for in his name, meaning it's in line with God's heart, it'll bring glory to God, right? It's in accordance with his will and what he thinks is best, then he'll bring it about. But to a degree, I don't think that's what this statement is referring to either. Because even that statement by Jesus, like we find limitations, right? Like think about it. If there are a lot of good things, there are clearly good things that we pray for that just don't come about. God doesn't bring about. Think about people that we pray for to come to know Jesus. Right? We pray for it, and we pray for it, but they still reject him. Now that prayer is totally in line with God's heart. We know it's his will or his desire that no one would perish, but that all would come to faith. All would come to have everlasting life in Christ Jesus. And we're praying for God to bring that about in someone's life. But the people we're praying for aren't willing to surrender their hearts to him. And the fact is God's not going to force the issue, right? Because while it's his will that no one perishes, it was also his will to give us the choice to choose or reject him, right? It was his will to let us obey or disobey. If someone chooses to reject him, he will allow that. So those are prayers for good things. And we're asking in his name things that are in line with his will that he still doesn't bring about or give us. Right? So I don't think that's the it Jesus is referring to here. You know, ask and you're going to receive. Seek and you're going to find. Knock, it will be opened. I don't think that's the it. It's just anything or just anything according to his will. So what are we supposed to be asking, seeking, and knocking for? And I think that what Jesus said right before this kind of puts a context to what he's talking about. It gives us some context, which is why we went back through it. So he's kind of saying this, if we want to accomplish the things Jesus is talking about, right? If we want to stop judging others or judging other believers who don't live exactly like we think they should, if we want to stop pushing better behavior on people who really need the righteousness of Christ, if we want to stop trying to nitpick other people's faults, if we want to get the log out of our eye, ask for his help, and he will give it. Right? And I think that's the it that Jesus is talking about. Now, he doesn't spell out specifically what it is in this verse, but when you kind of hear it in the context, it probably brings something to mind. So we'll say it this way this morning. We need to ask for the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask for the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, because that's what's going to enable us to do the things Jesus just talked about us needing to do. If we ask, seek, and knock, the power and strength of the Holy Spirit will be given. He will help. Right? And so saying it this in another way, the it that we get is the Holy Spirit. Right? You can catch the rhyme pattern there. The it that we get is the Holy Spirit. He's saying if we ask for his help, he will give it. If we ask for his help, he will give it. Now, theologically, we've got to kind of go this route to kind of clarify. The Holy Spirit wasn't given at the time when Jesus was teaching this. not in the way we understand him now. God's word, or God's spirit, I mean, was still active in the world, right? And Jesus knew it would be poured out in due time. He would be poured out to us, right? He is a helper in our lives. He enables us to overcome sin and fear and doubt. He gives us wisdom. He enlightens us to the scriptures. He convicts people of sin, and he prompts us towards accomplishing God's will in our lives. Jesus is saying, look, ask, and the Holy Spirit will be given to you. Seek him, and you'll find him. Knock on the door, and he will open it for you. And he will enable you to do the things that I'm saying here. Now, I think there's an important distinction. I think Jesus is talking about receiving the Spirit when we first come to faith in Christ. That happens automatically. Scripture affirms that God puts his Holy Spirit in us, makes us a new creation. He brings us from death to life by his Spirit. So if you're a believer, you already have the Holy Spirit in you, right? It's not talking about that moment. But when we are actively seeking, actively asking him to work in us, seeking his strength and power to accomplish his will, knocking on the door of the opportunity that he's put before us, then we need to ask for the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. And when we do, he says, we're going to get what we need from him. Right? So continuing on in that passage, verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Right? So think of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, if you have a heart that wants to change, if you have a heart to want to represent him, pray for what or who you need. And God will give it or him, the Holy Spirit, to you, his strength, his power. He's not going to hold back. He's not going to refuse you. Everyone who asks receives, Jesus says. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks has the door open to them. Why? Well, because God is a good God, right? He wants us to have that kind of heart. Because if we're aligning our heart with his, he's going to give us what we need to get there. Right? That's why Jesus also says in the next couple of verses, or which one of you, if a son asks him for bread, would give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Right? And so here's next kind of key idea. God is a good God. And he wants to give his children good things, right? God is a good God, and he wants to give us, his children, good gifts. Like, God isn't someone who is going to turn a cold shoulder our way when we're a genuinely seeking soul who wants something that is going to help us reflect his heart. He isn't going to give his kids a bad gift when they're asking for good things, legitimate, godly things. He isn't going to tell us to do something and then, like, withhold what we need to accomplish it. Like, Jesus points out here that even messed up human beings who have all kinds of wickedness in their hearts would never do something like that. So how much more is God going to do good things, give good things? He's way better than us. He is good. He is perfectly good. So God is a good God, and he wants to give his children good gifts. And when we ask for what we need to accomplish what he wants from us, he's going to give it to us. Now, we will say this, that it isn't always going to come right away, right? It isn't going to always be instant. Sometimes we have to keep on asking, right? Jesus told the story of a woman wanting justice from a corrupt judge, and she kept after him day by day and bugged him until he granted what she was asking, just so she would leave him alone. Now, that doesn't mean we're supposed to like be demanding toward God. Doesn't mean we're supposed to annoy him, right, with foolish prayers. But when it comes to praying for legitimate, godly, good things, like a changed heart to reflect his, we should keep praying. We should keep asking, seeking, and knocking. In fact, in the scriptures, Jesus said he told that story to his disciples to show they should always pray and never give up. Right? So sometimes we need to be consistent with that and keep seeking these things. And he will give them to us. Now, Jesus ends this section with these words: "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Right? Now, that's a passage of scripture that many people are familiar with, or at least a version of it, because it's the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's a good rule, right? It's a good way to go. Another example of the brilliance of Jesus and his teachings: treat other people the way you want to be treated. But again, he's kind of saying it in a very specific context here, too. And I think it's helpful to consider that. Right? He's talking in the context of being judgy. So let me ask, would you like someone to point out every little thing you fail at or struggle with? I mean, you probably already feel badly about it. At least you do if you're truly trying to honor God. You know it's a struggle. You don't need them to tell you that you're doing something wrong. And you really don't need them to be so unkind or impatient about it. And on top of that, they have really obvious issues of their own that they're not addressing. Right, you can see that. Right, look, an example: someone judges and says, "I can't believe you say that you're a Christian, but you listen to secular music." Ooh. Right, and yet they have this serious, ongoing, obvious problem with gossip and lying that they are totally ignoring. That's not right. Now, how do you wish they would treat you? With love? With compassion? Well, if you wish they would treat you like that, be sure you're doing that very thing for others. Right? Whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. By the way, there's no guarantee that they're going to do it back. But we're still called to do it that way. Here's another example. Someone doesn't understand how you could support that evil political party that opposes the ways of God. You know, that one. Their response is to ignore you, laugh at you, look down on you, ridicule you, or mock you for it. They take issue with that political stance because it doesn't reflect the heart of God. But they aren't loving like Jesus did. They aren't living like Jesus did. They don't even see that as a problem. And that's not right either. So how do you wish they would treat you? With kindness? With patience? With understanding, or at least an effort to try and understand where you're coming from? Well, if you wish they would treat you like that, then be sure you're doing that very thing for others. Right? Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Right? Just a couple of examples. This can be pretty widespread. But the last thing that Jesus adds in this verse is that he says, "For this is the law and the prophets." Right? Whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, Jesus was once asked, "What is the greatest of all the commands of Scripture?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength." And he said, "The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Right? The law and the prophets, he said, they're kind of summed up. They all hinge on these two things. He basically said, this is the law of the prophet, law and the prophets, love God and love other people. Right? Love God and love other people. And whenever we are struggling to do this, whether it's in regards to a judgy spirit or in any other area, we need to ask for the power and strength of the Holy Spirit to help us. Like the other things he mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount, not just the judgy thing, right? When he told us, like, be salt and light in the world. Ask for his help. Ask for his power and strength of the Holy Spirit, and he'll give it to us. When he talks about doing good deeds, not to get noticed, but to just to serve God and to let those good deeds shine before others so that they could glorify God. Ask for the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to forgiving others their trespasses, with the same kind of mercy and grace that God has given to us, ask for his strength and power of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to not living for earthly things, but instead laying up treasures in heaven, when it comes to being devoted to God, not money, when it comes to seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness and trusting God for what we need rather than living anxiously about all that stuff, ask God, right? Ask for the power and strength of the Holy Spirit, and he will give it to you. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find it. Knock, and it will be opened to you. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will give us what we need in order to do what is being asked of us. And God's not going to hold back. Why? Because he's a good God who gives good gifts to his children when they're seeking his heart and seeking to do his will. So I just want to ask you, as we pray, as we close, is there an area for you where you know God is calling you to maybe be or have a different kind of heart? Like maybe it is the area of judginess. Maybe it is one of these other things we just read, being salt and light in the world, or anxiety of earthly things rather than trusting God. Whatever. Want to just pray for those things. We want to pray and ask that God would give the power and strength of the Holy Spirit in your life so that your heart can reflect his more, so that my heart can reflect him more. So let's pray. Father God, you know our hearts. You know our desire to reflect you. You know our struggles and our needs, where we fall short in that. You know the battles that we are facing. You know what we need to face those battles. And we ask in this moment that you would give us what it is we need. The power and strength of your Holy Spirit. We ask for more of the Spirit in our lives to give us what we need to love you, to love others, to accomplish your will, to reflect your heart in the way that you desire. And Lord God, we know that you are a good God who desires to give us good things. These are good things that we are asking for, and you know that. And you tell us if we ask, we're going to receive it. If we seek, we're going to find it. And if we knock and keep knocking on that door, it's going to be open to us. And so we're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking. for the most significant thing that we can. Your power and strength in our lives to do your will. We want to surrender our hearts to you, our own ambitions, our own efforts, our own self-effort, and rely upon you in this moment. We pray that you would pour out your Spirit in our lives, in these areas that we're aware of, and God, even in the areas that we are maybe blind to. And we lift this all before you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.